Well, good morning. We start our third sermon in the series, and I feel particularly unqualified to talk about this one, but I'll give it to you from a theological perspective rather than a medical perspective, because I'm not a doctor. But I think it's a component of our spiritual life, and as I said on the first Sunday, our spirituality is the basis for all of it. Spiritual fitness is the key. And in the bulletin, you'll see that there's another same inventory there that you can take to see how you're doing your spiritual fitness. This, again, is the basis for the rest of it. So today I got some principles from Scripture, and I'm not going to get into, you know, a lot of the things as we're talking about getting physically fit. And say, well, what in the world does the Bible say about physical fitness? Well, I can assure you a lot. Bet you didn't know. I didn't realize that there was so much that has to say about it. Now, there are all kinds of theories about the kinds of things you should eat and what you should eat. And there's even something called the Garden of Eden diet, which is nothing but fruits, which I don't think seems to be a very good option because God said all manner of foods are good, except for probably the American diet in the last 35, 50 years or so, with all the Spam and head cheese and all the processed cheese and food and all that garbage that we have that we really like, but it's really not very good for us overall, at least not in great amounts. One of the things that I heard many, many years ago was this model, you know, one that you would know if I saw her name. She goes, "I eat anything I want." Literally. One bite. So when I go to attack a container of Special K bars, I don't think one bite suffices what it is that I'm trying to fulfill. But physically fit. So you know that I've been on a journey. The doctor told me I'd lose some weight for my knee surgery, and I'm about 75% good. Right now, overall, and I've lost 30 pounds since August 10th. I don't know if you can tell. I asked my daughter, "Does it look like I lost weight?" And she goes, "Yeah." Thanks for the encouragement. I appreciate that. But I'm the kind of guy that's straight up. I don't like being told lies, or not like lies, but little fibs to not hurt my feelings. I'd rather have it say like it is. But that's fine because I was getting heavy. And now it's time to reverse course. You know, it's like the cheeseburgers and the things that I enjoy and all those things have to end at some point. And after I retired from the Army, I kind of went crazy, as you know. So now it's time to get back to some physical fitness. One of the things that we hear about constantly is balanced diet, eat right, and exercise. That's what we hear. The federal pyramid for the food pyramid, though, is basically godless in my view, and it's upside down and backwards. So if you're paying attention to that one, I wouldn't really do that as much. Men need protein. So do ladies. Because we are all humans and have muscle tissue. But the ladies seem to need a little more carbs than men. Overall. In fact, if ladies are trying to lose weight, what I've read is that regardless of the diet that you choose, and I don't mean diet as a fad. I mean diet in the sense of what you eat on a routine basis. So let's get that clarified right now, right? Diet. Diet is not going on a fad or going on this process for a minute. A diet is what you eat on a routine basis, right? So with a diet, we need to have some protein. And guys need protein more. In fact, my doctor told me, he said, well, at 300 pounds, you probably need 120 to 150 grams of protein per day, minimum. And I thought, my goodness, that's a lot, right? So then I tried it out, and then all of a sudden I'm walking around, and I look like the Flash. I mean, my body's on fire. I'm a furnace, right, because of the protein. But that's exactly what we need as men. Now, I'm, again, no diet expert. Look at me, right? But I'm trying to use the broad principles with regard to what we're supposed to do. And in particularly as a theologian, I want to come at it from a biblical perspective. So one of the things that I've struggled with repeatedly over the years is I hate exercise. Literally. In fact, there's probably nothing in this life that I hate more than exercise. You know, and part of the reason I was conditioned for that, because the Army uses exercise as punishment. And so at 17 years old, when I was indoctrinated, it was at that point that exercise became a form of punishment for everything. And so doing push-ups and sit-ups and doing runs and all the other exercise, leg lifts and scissor jacks and mountain climbers, it wasn't fun, and it never was. And by the way, it still ain't no fun, Eddie. The only thing that I actually don't mind, and I have to be honest, I don't mind, is riding my bike, my motorcycle. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't mind the bike. It's easy on the, you know, I have chronic shin splints. I'm disabled. I got a disability for that. The Army physically hurt my body permanently. And so I can't do a lot of walking anyway. If I do, it starts to impact them. Even the physical therapist this last week said, well, we have to work on it. I said, no chance. You have no chance to fix it. It's chronic. It's not going away. I'm permanently injured, and there's no reversing it. So, and because I've went through all that stuff. There's just, it's chronic. So nonetheless, exercise is something I hate, but it is a component that we need to engage. It just is. We have to move. I have found in the last several months, I would become more immobile because of my knee, right? I couldn't. When I was still in the injury status, it was very hard to walk around. It was just everything in my leg hurt constantly. And you know that I waited almost 70 days. But that was the soonest that I could get the surgery, was 70 days after injury. So during that 70 days, I became relatively inactive because it hurt to walk around or get up. Then I noticed that my hips started bothering me. And then I noticed that my back started bothering me. And every time I'd get up, it hurt to get up. And so when I've been doing physical therapy and the stuff at home, I do squats, just body resistance now, and I do some things. I get up because I have a desk job, basically. That was it. When I started getting up, moving around, using the bands to stretch the muscles you're supposed to stretch and do the things you're supposed to do and do, you know, high steps, you know, around your house and get up from the desk, don't be sitting there, climb the steps, do all that stuff. Little by little by little, within 2 weeks, my hips stopped hurting. So the whole thing was due to immobility. The whole thing. And I'm only 54. I'll be 55 next month, but 55 basically. I should be, like, still running marathons, 55. Well, I never would have. But then you get the point. So imagine at 70 how it would be if you were not mobile. How you'd become so stiff in every part. So when they say, you've heard it repeated again and again, that, you know, keep moving. Don't stop moving. Keep moving. Got to keep moving. Well, that's the key, right? Flexibility. So that's kind of the things that I've been working on. Well, in the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, remember we've been using this as the basis for the sermon series, and this is Paul's words to the young preacher. Remember he told Timothy, he said, "And make sure that you insist with your people that they follow the things that you're saying. Insist that they live a godly life. Insist that they do the things that the best they can with God's help, but insist that they do it and don't lower that standard, of course, right? Insist upon it." And so now we get to this point, and Paul's still giving advice to that young preacher, Timothy, and he says there in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, physical training is good. Now he says, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and then life to come. Now if you take the two clauses and sandwich them, like the English language does here, you say that you know it's not a dismissal of the first clause. When he says, but spiritual training is better, that's not a dismissal of the first clause, which is physical training is good. Paul says to us, and says to Timothy, that physical training is good. It's necessary. We need it. Now, I don't know, I'm adding necessary and we need it, but the point is that he's saying that it's good and that it will provide promising benefits in this life. So let's take the scripture for what it says. And we're not taking this out of context. Paul's clearly talking about this. He's talking in the greater context, though, of continuing in the struggle. And I had to change my mind about something. I hate exercise. It's a struggle. Well, Paul said, continue in the struggle. Continue in the struggle. And then I began to realize that it is a matter of my faith. Being physically fit is a matter of faith, actually, and our trust and dependence on the Holy Spirit in the same way it is that when we rely on God to help us in a moment of crisis. Let's say we're having an argument with our spouse and the temperatures go up and we're at the boiling point and we cry out and we say, God, help me in the moment not say something that's not pleasing to you. And we try to restrain ourselves with God's help. In the same way, we approach physical fitness. Exactly the same way. It's by the same Spirit, of course. So, my prayer should be not, God, help me love exercise, because that's not how I've been created, but rather, help me exercise to honor you. As a form of learning discipline and of worshiping God. I never really thought of it that way through. I mean, I've heard it kind of, but I was like, blah, blah, blah. You know how it is. You know, physicality for Christians, that's like the naughty, you know, we don't talk about that around here. But it's something that we have to approach. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul again goes to the metaphor of exercise, in this case, shadow boxing. So I run with purpose in every step. Do I exercise? Do I approach getting up out of bed and grumbling about going on a walk? Do I approach this with purpose? Am I approaching it in my spirituality? Am I saying, Lord, I need to go for this walk to, you know, keep mobile? It's not about losing weight. It's not about even being healthy for me in that sense. It's about now, at this point in my life, it's about mobility and flexibility. Because that's what my body needs. And that's what I think all of us need. You know, that's a big training in the NFL now. They're talking about a huge pilots. Flexibility in your body is so critical to avoiding injury. I've done a lot of research this last week, you can see. So he says, I'm not just shadow boxing. See? He's not just exercising for the sake of exercising. That's not why he's doing it. He's saying that he's disciplining his body through it. So like an athlete, training it to do what it should, our body should be flexible. It should be in condition. It should be ready to go. It should be fit. You should breathe right. All those things. We should consume and burn our calories appropriately in a healthy way. Aside from some medical condition, our bodies are very efficient. They're made to burn the food that we eat, but we have to exercise. We have to train our bodies. So, but Paul says he does this with purpose in every step. And he says, otherwise, I fear that after I preach to others that I myself might be disqualified. So you see, it truly is in the context of his spirituality. Truly, it's part of his spiritual journey. It's part of his life. It's part of everything. And I don't just shadow box. I don't just go in the gym and hit the heavy bag or get on the treadmill. I don't just do that for that reason. It's much more than that. And so what is physical fitness? It's kind of hard to define, I thought, actually. But this was probably the best definition that I could come up with because it kind of encompasses all things. Physical fitness is defined as one's ability to execute daily activities. We could almost probably stop right there. Because if you can't get up and you can't walk around and you can't burn the calories that you're putting in and if you can't clean yourself and if you can't go to the store and you can't get in the car, you're not physically fit. But that's not something you should be ashamed of. It should be something to work on, right? God's not here to shame us and cut us down. God's here to help us and get us through things and turn this into something that's much more like a rest of our Christian walk, which is spiritual, right? So with optimal performance, endurance, strength, and with the management, and this is the second half, the management of disease, fatigue, and stress, and reducing as much as possible sedentary behavior. In our culture, this is very hard. Me and Darcy most of the time work from home. Our jobs are remote now, and it's completely sedentary. It just is. That's the nature of the job. So we have to make other arrangements to try to get physical. And it didn't come to a head for me until the knee. And so now I've been kind of shaken back to reality. You know, had a little come to Jesus, meeting with the doctor. And for the first time in my life, I actually took to heart what the doctor says. Normally, the doctor's talking to me, and inside, I'm going like this. Blah, 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 whatever. I shouldn't, but I do. I'm just being honest. Well, this time, with the knee, it just somehow affected me internally. And I believe that's of the Holy Spirit, right? So, nonetheless, this is the goal. So why is physical fitness so important? I think the key ingredient for the Christian is stewardship. We are stewards. You know, think of the parable of talents. Someone's given 1, 5, 10. What did they do? The guy that had 5 doubled. The guy that had 10 doubled. What did the guy have 1 have? He went and buried it. Think of the metaphor and apply it to your own life right now. What if your 1 talent is your body? Are you going to go bury it in the ground? Well, that means you're killing it. You see what the connection? I mean, I don't think that was intended from Scripture. That's something that I'm saying. But think of it in that sense. You do the parallels, like, why would I go bury my body in the ground? That may kill myself. Because that's what you're doing if you don't apply the principles of Scripture. You're taking years off your life on purpose by not keeping physically fit, by not exercising, by not eating right. You're deliberately taking years off your life. It's not necessary, and it's not what God intended. So the other thing about exercise is it assists us in self-control, which we know is what? It's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that is also God-empowered. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have assistance in self-control, which means that we can exercise with purpose. We can exercise in a daily proposition. And I got some, you know, other things for us later on. It also, exercise reduces stress, increases mood, which would be endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, those feel good drugs in the brain. You call the runner's high, if you will. The worst exercise that I hate is cardio. I just hate it. You know, last year for 6 months, Darcy, Caleb, and me were in there working out, and they got that stair climber up there. Not the one where it's just the pumps, the one where you actually climb up. Man, we'd go work out and do 25, 30 minutes with the weights, 150-pound dumbbells, all that, and then I'd go on that for 20 minutes. And man, you think I just came out of like the desert 40 days and 40 nights after that exercise, right? I hate that. I don't like it at all. But it helps with your cardio, big time, which is your heart health, okay? And our bodies need to sweat. They have to sweat. They need to sweat. So I'm not an expert, so I'm trying to stay on the overriding principles, the big picture. And then, of course, exercise also eases, complications from age, increasing our flexibility, fighting disease, injury, and mental health. So there's all manner of benefits for physical exercise. So what I thought of myself was, what am I going to do? Because I hate this. I'm not going to, you know, and something that we hate, we're going to resist. We don't want to change. We want to keep in this. So like, what am I going to do about this, Lord? What am I going to tell you guys about that? So, well, he said, just say what is. So that's what I'm saying. I hate exercise. I don't know if any of you can identify with me on that. So in 4:8, we just read, he says, physical training is good. So this is really a spiritual matter. So in 4 and 5, though, it gives us a bit of help. 1 Timothy 4:4-5. It says, since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. And I started to think, man, if I just said, thank you, Lord, for this day, and put my shoes on and walked outside, and I said, thank God I can even walk. Thank God for my house. And if I started going around walking and thanking God for all the things, I'd probably get to 5 or 10 miles very fast. Because it's just, there's so many things to be thankful for. Had you ever thought of that? You go on a walk or you do some exercise, it's an opportunity to still your spirit and have a conversation with the Lord. Pray. Kill 3 birds at once. You got your Christian music in here, you're praying in the spirit, and you're walking. Or whatever it is. Right? So, I'm committed, and I will report in next week, because I'm accountable. Tomorrow, I'm going to start walking again. And then I'm going to try to graduate to the bike. As soon as, you know, as my knee gets better. The doctor's saying, you know, 6 weeks or so, you should be back to like 90%. 8 weeks, you should be near 100, if not before that. So I started doing leg presses, single leg presses at physical therapy. With, you know, getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Right now, they're trying to restore the balance. You know, this is easy on hard ground. You know those pads that you use in the garden? Or for mechanics, they kneel on them. You get them at Harbor Freight. It's that cushion. I challenge you. Get on that cushion and just stand with one leg up once. Go ahead. Try it. You'll be like, yeah, and then you'll fall over. Right? And so what they're working on now is, you know, because balance is part of the strengthening of the knee, right? If you're really strong in your leg, you're going to be able to keep your balance just by standing. So, like, it's a flexibility thing and it's a strengthening thing to hold yourself in a balance. Nonetheless, it's good. It's good to do that. And we should do that. So as I get going, I'm committed tomorrow going for a walk. And I'm going to get up in the morning, and because for me, it's the best time. I just get up out of bed, crusty eyes and all, and walk right out and go for a walk. And that really should help set up the day. And if it's 20 below, good. I need the hypothermic effects of exercise. The cold, crisp air that crystallizes your nose and everything else and crispy up your ears, they're probably good for you. So I'm not going to go forever. I'm going to start long or start short, about a mile, maybe a mile and a half, and then I'm going to graduate 2 miles. And then I'm going to stay at about 2 miles. That's about 35 minutes. That's a good exercise to start with. And I'm not going to go crazy with this because, I hate it, right? So I would encourage you to start somewhere where you think it's tenable. Even if it's the very bare minimum, start there. Just get out and do something to move around. You could do it in your house, too, with resistance bands. You know, tie a knot around the band, slab it in the door, and you can do exercise with bands. It's the same thing. It's any kind of resistance. Just do something. And so as I read verse 5, though, it says, we know it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer. What is that? Everything God created is good. He's talking in the sense of food and being married and all these other things. And since God created it's good, we should not reject any of them, but receive with thanks. So we should turn our time of exercise into a spiritual activity, which is praying, talking to God. And so consider it to be this is your time with the Lord. Turn that into a spiritual discipline issue. Because Paul said, I discipline my body through physical exercise. So we should discipline ourselves to read God's word. We should discipline ourselves to pray. We should discipline ourselves in a training and fitness that says train yourself. Remember last week, train yourself is what Paul said. So we want to turn this into a discipline. Now, for years and years and years, I turned it into a discipline, yes. But I had this motivating factor called a paycheck. I had to do it. It was my job to stay in shape. It was something I had to do. Now it's not my job. Well, sort of, it kind of is, though. It is actually my job much more as a spiritual discipline than it was as a worldly discipline. Think about it. Right? We're motivated. We have no choice. It becomes our paycheck. But if we have we turn it into spiritual discipline, then it becomes imperative. We must do it. We have to do it as part of our faith in God. So that's why I'm saying, let God change your thinking and mood about physical exercise by His Spirit. And I know He will, because in Romans chapter 12, go there real quick, you know the verse. What does it say? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. And this is truly the way to worship Him. You ever thought of it like that? Don't copy the customs and behaviors of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So there's the passage that tells us to be transformed, to tell us to think differently, to have the Spirit help us in these things. I think it is a very much so a spiritual matter. Physical fitness is clearly, in my mind, a spiritual issue. And it can be either rectified or, I don't want to use the word corrected, but enhanced by our relationship with Christ. So, we also battle with the inner voice, don't we? Now, I know these are small, but I'll read them. That inner voice is constantly talking to us. One of mine says, you hate exercise, you hate exercise, you hate exercise, like clanging cymbal. You hate it, you hate it, you hate it, I'm not doing it. And then becomes a form of rebellion. And that inner voice says, every time we look in the mirror, I'm not thin enough. Well, what does that even mean? You ever think about it? What is thin enough? What does it even mean? These are things that are signals and cues from the world. I'm not thin enough. We should be thinking, what does it mean to be physically fit? Physically fit may not mean necessarily thin. In fact, thin may mean unhealthy. So we have to be very careful about these signals that we get from the devil and from the world. And then that inner voice is me. Why can't I have that? I went right over there and there was a chocolate donut. And there was even half of it left for me. And I had to pivot. Literally repent. I repented. I truly did. I truly did. I was walking toward it and I went, man, I'm going right for that donut. I'm going to do it. But everyone's watching me. I can't do it. I need to repent. Sorry, Lord. I need to do this other thing. But the inner voice says, I want it. I like it. I love it. Why can't I have it? So it's a discipline. I need to discipline myself to say no. Okay? I'm not craving any food. I've adjusted my body where my body is metabolizing energy with fat rather than sugar. So I never have cravings. I never want to eat. The only thing I crave is water, and that's it. I have to force myself to eat at this point because my body is using my body fat for fuel. So I'm never hungry because it's burning my body fat. I told someone earlier, by December, I'm not even going to be the same person. Look out. But again, this is not a fad. This is not something that's going to stop. This is a change of lifestyle. And then, as Christians sometimes, though, we look at others and we criticize them because they're heavy or they're big, or we can perceive that they're not physically fit. And then we're creeping back inside, and it even could be wicked in us. It becomes judgmental. We don't know where that person's health condition, we don't know where they're at, we don't know where they are in their spirituality, we don't even know if they have come to a place in their relationship with God that they're willing to sacrifice or willing to restrain themselves or willing to change with God's help. We don't know where they're at. And so when we look at someone that we perceive is not physically fit, we need to shut that voice off. Don't do it. Don't become judgmental. We don't know. There are medications that cause weight gain. There are medications that cause us not to be healthy. Like chemotherapy is poison, isn't it, John? It ruins your body. But some, and then can some say, John, what's going on? You're looking like a waif. What's the deal? Then we become judgmental. But if we didn't know that John was on cancer treatments, we wouldn't know. Well, it can work the other way too. You're getting too big, all these things, and become judgmental. And for us, what happens in our lives oftentimes is we have no peace. We have no peace with how we look. We have no peace with who we are. We have no peace with God. Because this is one area of our life that just, we just resign ourselves to the fact that this is the way it is and I can't change it and it is what it is. But you know, you can change it. That lack of peace should be a signal to us that God is trying to teach us. God is trying to help us. God is trying to show us. That's what these stresses and cortisol, they are good at sometimes in a moment of fight and flight to escape danger. They're excellent signals. But that internal voice, if there's no peace, maybe that voice is a signal that we get from God saying something needs to change. We need to get this, you know, worked out, whatever that might be. And then this obsession with suffering. I remember when I retired at 19, I'm like, I'm tired of this suffering. Suffering meant no goodies, treats, all the things, cakes, candies, blah, blah, blah. That's what suffering meant. I didn't get to have all the good things I like. Well, then I went crazy in all the good things I like, and this is the result. So you see what I'm saying? That's what I mean. This obsession with suffering or food. We grew up relatively poor. Now, we didn't lack things in the sense of food, but we weren't wealthy in that sense in any way, shape, or form. And for people that grow up in poverty or very poor or just getting by, food is the only thing that you think about, honestly. Food is at the center of all of our existence because that's the most basic, fundamental need that we have as a human being is food. And it becomes obsessive. My wife says, you know, you ask about what are we having for dinner? We're in church, a visitor standing there one time, and I walked right up to her and I cut her off, not even thinking, saying, what's for lunch? That had nothing to do with the conversation. There's this obsession with food, right? And I think part of it for me is that's part of the reason why. Because it was such a fundamental need that we had that every waking moment we were thinking about food. I remember even when I was in the Army the first time, we were in the field 12, 14 hours, and there was no MREs then in those days. They had C rations, but we didn't use them as much. And I remember we were asking the sergeants, where's the food? Where's the food? Where's the food? We've been out here 12, 14 hours. We haven't even had any food or anything yet. Where's the food? And it became obsession as a soldier when you're in the field. Where's the food? Where's the food? Where's the food? And so it's sort of like one of those base needs that becomes this, it just becomes aggravated and accentuated, if you will, in our manner. And we need to ask God to help us with this obsession that we have. And then, sometimes we can become slaves to the mirror or the scale. And by the way, the federal mandate for what a male should weigh is utterly nonsense. It's just utter nonsense. Especially now, we're bigger than we've been. I mean, the average height of American in the 50s was 5'6". Can you think of that? The average American male was 5'6" in 1950. Even the watches they had in those days, as I'm a watch guy, they were 32-millimeter bumper watches, they call them. They're small. I can't even see it with both eyes, much less, you know, one eye. They're just, everything was different. You know, the doctors say, watch the movies from the 50s and see the male actors, and that's how you should look. And I look at him and I go, you're fired. That's not going to happen. Right? But now the average American male is 5'9". Isn't that crazy? And just, you know, 50-something years, we've increased our size because of our food and because what we have. We're just getting bigger as human beings. Not necessarily unfit, but just bigger. And so for a 5'9 male, that's got to be 200-plus pounds, probably 220. And I would say if you're 5'9", you weigh 210, you're probably in pretty good shape. Right? You're probably physically fit. But again, it's not about how you look and it's not about how you weigh as much as it is how you feel. Are you mobile? Are you flexible? Are you able to have some sweat? Are you able to not huff and puff when you get up the stairs? Are you able to have energy all day and not get to noon or 1 o'clock and be exhausted and need a nap? Those are the kind of the signals that our body gives us. So don't be a slave to the mirror of the scale. Consider rather that physical fitness is part of your spiritual journey and it's something that we need to work on and it's something that we need to have goals for. And don't let the scale be the goal. It's fine for me. I have a target and that's fine. And that helps me in my target. But really what I'm after is becoming more in tune with the inner voice and that voice that I'm having with the Lord. I want to discipline myself to have a closer relationship with God and then learn discipline from Him. And so that inner voice is more in concert with what we find in Scripture and the Lord helps us. So this is the tough slide for the day. Repentance may be required. Is my lack of motivation, laziness, or something deeper? It's something we need to ask ourselves. These are rhetorical questions. Is my lack of motivation laziness or something deeper? Sometimes we look at a person that we perceive as being not physically fit and we just assume you're just lazy. Well, that's wicked. That's not right for us to say that. We don't have a place to say that in anyone's life. If they give us permission, fine. But we're not supposed to say that. That's not right. What we should do is say pray for them and don't even think twice about it. They're a human being. Is it okay to be concerned? Naturally. But it's not something that you should like think like, oh, you're lazy. That's the world. That's the devil. You should think, well, let's pray for them that God would change their heart by the transformation of their spirit. Like Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? Well, maybe these inner cues are God shining light on something about ourselves that He wants us to change. So this whole issue of physical fitness, maybe we're miserable, maybe we don't feel good, maybe we don't physically feel good, and maybe we see ourselves in the mirror and we're not satisfied. Maybe we step on the scale and we're not satisfied. And we look at that and maybe these are cues that we could take from the Lord that there's something more that He's shining a light on and He wants us to change it. And with His help, He will. Obviously, if He's giving us the cue to change, He's actually the one motivating it, right? He's actually shining light on something to help us because that's how God shows, in part, His love for us. And then, perhaps, not taking care of our bodies has become sinful. Surely, we're physical creatures, we're created this way, and it can get to the point where it is sinful. where we say things like, I don't care. And I did say that. Remember, some of you knew me from years ago. Man, there was a time when I was 370 pounds. And I lost a lot of weight to join the army again. And I never want to get back to that, but I was slowly getting there. And when I got to 230, I'm like, or 330, I'm like, eh, that's it. I'm not going back. I'm not doing that again. And so I'm motivating. God's helping me. But see, for me, it's becoming sinful. For me. Not saying it is for you. I'm saying it was for me. And when it's something that's sinful, it's something I need to repent of, which is change. And maybe someday I can have that one bite of a chocolate donut. And that's it. It just so happens that I was created that this is one of the struggles that I have. I know guys that I met my entire life, they can eat everything and anything on the planet. They can eat a whole box of Oreo cookies and they won't gain a single pound. That's just how their bodies are. Mine, I look at a donut and I've already gained 5 pounds. I mean, there's this mind meld, change of metabolism, just looking at it. I don't know what it is. I could drink water and gain weight. Unbelievable. And so not caring, which you really do care if you think about it, not caring is an excuse that we talk to ourselves about, thinking that somehow we can not have the other feelings and emotions that we have. Like the, looking at the scale or looking at the mirror or looking at this and that. It's just one of our ways of trying to avoid the conversation. I don't care. Well, actually, we really do care. And so let that be a cue from the Lord. And at some point, it may be that repentance is required. Like we have to change our heart. It becomes sinful. And Lord, it's something I need to move beyond because it's what you want for me. So in 1 Corinthians 6, this is sort of the crux of it all, right? That our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. There it is. We have to come to the reality that our bodies are not our own. They're not. We are stewards of this. This is a gift from God, and we should do everything we can do to take care of it. And so that has all kinds of ramifications that we need to deal with. For God bought you with a high price. So it is a matter of sacrifice. It is a matter, and we don't like this word, it is a matter of submission. We have to submit this to God, all of us. And that's what he says, you must honor God with your body. That's the hardest thing. So where are we going to find some ways to make this better, to make it more helpful, to help us? Well, in 1 Peter 5 and 7, give all your worries and cares to God. So again, this also is a spiritual matter. And finally, some take-homes and we'll have communion. Physical fitness is a discipline that needs to be practiced. No getting around it. I agree. Your health reflects your walk with God. Have you ever thought about that? Now, disease we can't control. I'm talking about physical fitness. When it comes to physical fitness, your health, your physical health, reflects your walk with God. It clearly does. It's a mental and a spiritual journey. It's both. Physical fitness is a lifelong quest. It's not something that can ever be stopped. Think of it like eating. We have to eat. We have to exercise. They're one in the same sentence. Same coin. We have to eat, but we also have to exercise. Now, some people have physical jobs and you get it there. Some people have jobs that are construction workers, whatever. You're doing all kinds of moving all day and you're doing stuff. Maybe part of the focus for you is learning how to be a little more careful in how you're doing things so you don't wreck your body, right? That kind of thing. But if you don't have a physical job, then get out and do some exercise. Go for a walk. It's all it takes. Get the body moving, get the muscles moving, and do yoga. Not the transcendental meditation yoga, but just do the pilates, like the flexibility training and that sort of stuff. I think you'll find it very helpful. I've been doing the flexibility stuff on my hips and down, and it's paying huge dividends. Whatever it is that works for you, find out what you can do. And then finally here, pray. Ask God to help. That's about it. I think that's about all I'm qualified to talk about when it comes to physical fitness. I hope this is helpful, gives you some insights. I do think it's a spiritual matter. Guys, give me a hand of communion. And we'll pray that God gives us help in all these things.